listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time to an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting, for live program scheduling, hit them up at timetoanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, how you doing? It's been a while. And I hope that you had the chance to do all the things that you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you got it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. Appreciate you for that. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad to be back. Glad to be able to broadcast again to hopefully inform and enlighten and give a good perspective on what our situation is. So let's get started. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green line with African Post. Click on that for previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, all times are going to give our Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds. I had a chance to listen to some of the program on my return. And right after Acres of Diamonds, from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with your host, Dr. William Rogers, from 8 to 10. Heard him last night. It was good to hear Dr. Rogers back on the air and doing well. Much love and respect. Wednesdays. Of course, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But on Wednesday evening, it's POC, Proof of Consciousness, with her program, Revive, from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joe and Troy, 7 p.m. on Thursdays here on Time for an Awakening Media. Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturday morning Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, that's right. It ain't me. It's Sister POC on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with her program, Revive. Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. And blacktalkradionetwork.com. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. You can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses on WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out. If you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall.
They have a kiosk and they sell laundry detergent, toothpaste, toothbrushes, all kinds of good stuff. And of course, they have paraphernalia with We Buy Black on it. So check them out, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahimba, my good friend, Brother Bomani. You can give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. He is going to Ghana, West Africa, and he's going to be taking some of the things. He's going to be going on a trek on the same things that I did right there in Ghana, West Africa. And, of course, the program the tour is May 22nd. To June 4th, May 22nd to June 4th. It is only $3,700. You can give brother a call at 404-931-9429 or go online. Go online. Or you can give him an email, Africa for the Africans, AFTA2010@msn.com or on his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And check him out. He's got an outstanding trip planned. You're going to be flying into Accra, Ghana, the capital of Ghana. You're going to be going east to Pram, or near that area where the ancestral wall is. And I thank Brother Jerry Johnson for hosting me and my friend Jim Winbush at the ancestral wall for a few days. Great place. Good food. And then we headed back to, towards Accra. But I'll talk about that in a minute. I just want to make sure that you get this information from Africa for the Africans tour and what it involves. He also has a trip planned for November 22nd to December 2nd, going to South Africa, going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. Not sure the cost of that. And then there's a trip at the end of the year around the holiday times, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, January 4th, 2020. And that trip is to Ghana. So check out my good friend, Brother Bomani Tahimba, at Africa for the Africans. Books. We need to read. We definitely need to read. The best place to go to here in the Atlanta area. If you don't have a bookstore in your area, you can go online to other American African or African bookstores and order things from them. I know here in the Atlanta area, we have a few. One, of course, is the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. The number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They're open from Wednesday through Saturday. And they have books, furniture, clothing, artwork, artifacts, the red, black, and green shoes, the Ask Gas shoes, red, black, and green shoes. They even have a Holocaust Museum at the Shrine. And they have a class, a Know Thyself class, a history class every Saturday from 1:30 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. every Saturday at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. If you can't make that, but you'd like to get that information, you can get it from the Black History Club presents the Black History Multimedia Library. It is over 15,000 video files. You'll get over 15,000 images. You get over 40,000 audio files and over 2,000 books of the history of African people. It is currently over 4.5 terabytes of Africa or African enlightenment. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Get that information and share it with others. The other bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right near the kiosk of We Buy Black, is the Meddu bookstore. Meddu means writings. And there's a word that goes after Meddu, which is Netcher. Meddu Netcher, which is what the Greeks call hieroglyphs. They were called Meddu Netcher, the writings of the gods. And at the Meddu bookstore, you can check out a lot of good books. And if they don't have the book that you want, I'm quite sure they'll order it for you. We'll have it right there for you. Another good bookstore is my friend, Brother Kazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. And if he doesn't have the book that you're looking for, he'll order it and get it for you as well. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. That's right. And there's a variety of them now. There's even a white one that's ready for the summer, all white with red with the Ankh in Africa. So check that out, okay? All right. Today is Wednesday, and tomorrow is Thursday, and Thursday is the Ulu, Us Lifting Us radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And it's from 9 to 10, 9 p.m. Eastern to 10. The number to call to listen and participate is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789 for Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And we pulled our money together and we created Cafe Ulu right there in Atlanta in the Sylvan Plaza, right off of Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road. The number to call is 470-788-8124. 470-788-8124. Call them and order some coffee. Well, no, go buy. Go online to cafeulu.com. Cafe, CAFEULU.com, and order some coffee. It's going to be delicious. Cafe Ulu. It's open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee, brothers and sisters. We have Cameroon. We're known for coffee. Ethiopia is the birth of coffee. It is the original place of coffee. In fact, when I was on Ethiopian Airlines, I had some of their good, delicious, strong coffee. Yeah. But check us out. Cameroon Boyo, which is my favorite, had some when I got back. Boy, I said, man, I missed this coffee. Because when I was in Africa, I didn't get African coffee. I got Nescafe instants. In fact, the two coffees I did have that were brewed, I don't know, just didn't taste that good to me. So, but hey. You know, when you develop a taste for something and, you know, you want that, you don't want something else, you know. So Cafe Ulu, check them out, located on Sylvan Road. We also have a drink there called Ambrosia, Brother Novak Young and his product Ambrosia. It's a vitality drink made with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, chlorophyll, hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Delicious vitality drink. Akabit Institute. I'm going to always promote Akabit Institute for what they're trying, for what they're doing and educating our young brothers and sisters to be warriors. And we need that. We need brothers and sisters to be warriors. You know, we need them to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us, to think independently, but more importantly, to think collectively as African people. So the Akabit Institute, please don't make your donations. Send it to Akabit Institute, P.O. Box 10786, 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310, 30310. I want to thank my daughter. Love her dearly. Thank you, dear. And, of course, you can pay by PayPal and Cash App. The dollar sign to YAB, YAA. M. Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and you can do that on Cash App or PayPal. So any way that you can, make that donation to Akabit Institute, please do so. I usually read the Inyesesim at this time, but I'm going to save that because I've been gone for so long, I'm going to go to some past revolutionary thoughts this past month. I've been gone since the 5th. And there are a lot of good pieces that are in there by various other brothers and sisters. And, of course, Baba Baruti's narrative after the phrase or the saying. So I'm going to go through that. But I'm going to talk about my trip to Ghana, West Africa. Me and my good friend, Brother Jim Winbush. We have a caller. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller, 404.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself, Brother Oshi?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Good. So, What's on your mind?
This is Richard Campbell calling.
Oh, hey, Rich. What's up,
brother? I finally got up to call into the show and at least say hello.
Oh, man, fantastic. Man, I saw a picture of you, man, online with you and some other revolutionary brothers. That's right on. My brother Richard. Yeah.
Still trying to keep the work going.
I know that's right. Got to. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? And we can't rely on anybody else. We got to do it ourselves. You know,
won't get done.
That's right. So we got to
do
that.
But I came in just as you were mentioning Cafe Ulu, and there's going to be a very fantastic lecture there this Saturday from 1 to 4.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I think I did hear about something that somebody's going to make a presentation at the cafe. I know I was there yesterday when it was the cafe last night because they had the jam session. You know, it was okay. But, yeah. So talk.
I actually haven't been there yet. This will be my first time, but I'll be there Saturday.
Okay.
But the former president general of the UNIA, Sangor Baye.
Oh, Brother Sangor. Brother Sangor out of D.C.
Yes.
Oh, I'll be there.
For any conscious Africans.
Yeah.
That's the place to be on Saturday afternoon.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely be talking more about it. I'm going to definitely talk more about it on the program on Friday to get our people hyped about it. But, yeah, Brother Sangor Bay.
I'll try to send you a flyer in the meantime, too.
That'll work. I appreciate that. That will definitely work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know that I was there for last year when we were talking about the Pan-African Forum, you know, and I was representing Us Lifting Us because we wanted to make sure when we talked about Pan-Africanism, they also deal with an economic solution to the issues. And we believe, you know, squarely that Us Lifting Us is the economic model that we should adopt as Pan-Africanists moving forward because it is a collective
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We agree with that totally, and that is the motto of the UNIA, race first.
That's right. That's right.
That's us lifting us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't do it, who's going to, huh?
Well, there's too much information showing out there that purposely it's being done the other way, and it's being done so slickly and so smoothly that we don't see it and don't even know it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
I just finished The New Jim Crow.
Okay.
Alexander's book.
Yeah.
And that book is so powerful, and she's dropping so much good information
there.
And
isn't she?
It's being pulled. It's like it's being pulled right over our faces, and we can't even see.
Yeah.
So it's time for some work. It's time for us to band together and support each other. You mentioned a school, the Akubin Institute.
Yes.
They definitely need our support, but we all need our support.
Right,
and
that's true.
We need to join hands and make this thing happen some more.
Yeah.
So I've learned a new question to ask people because it's legitimate. Do you have your black government identification card yet? We do have a black government.
Okay.
And we got a lot of people talking about being African. Can you pull out your identification card and show that you've actually gone that far?
Well, let me say this. I need to get mine, Brother Richard.
Well, seriously, go to cbpm.org, the Collective Black People's Movement.org, or go to the UNIA page, and that can link you up in there. And once you become a member of the UNIA, you can get your ID card.
Okay.
It's only $46 a year.
That's a good, I would definitely do that. I'm going to definitely do that to support that.
And,
you know,
and,
I mean,
we need all of us. Everybody needs to flash their ID card to prove that, you know, yes, I am. I'm not just talking.
Right.
Yes, I am. I'm supporting the government that is functioning on our behalf.
Right.
And the only thing it needs is more members.
Right. Well, that's just like all of it in terms of what we're trying to do as a people collectively. It is very difficult to do here because America perpetuates and promotes individualism.
Individualism,
materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America is about. It's been that way since the inception of this country. It will continue to be that way until the country is no more, because that's what it's about: individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. What's in it for me?
And we have to combat that.
Right.
And that really is what we have to combat. So what strategies are we going to put together to combat that?
Mm-hmm.
Us lifting us.
Well, that's the point. It is a conscious effort. It's our minds, you know.
It's a conscious effort.
Yeah. See, we have to fight on a daily basis the European who bombards our mind and our thinking with images and notions of our inferiority. And
consciously.
Consciously.
Yes. They're doing this consciously.
Mm-hmm. With intent. With intent to literally destroy us. See? And so that's why a lot of things that we try to initiate, they don't work well, because we are fragmented. We believe that we're our own worst enemies. We believe that it's I don't care about what they do. It's all about me and mine. The hell with you and yours. All of these concepts that are American that we have embraced are detrimental to us collectively as a people. You know, some of us have no feeling for those of us who are struggling. You know, I always use this, Brother Richard. There's 100% of us, and of that 100%, 40% of us, this is in the United States, across this country, United States, particularly major cities and so forth, that 40% of us are at or below poverty. And that's easy because the poverty line is, you know, if you're not making over $20,000 a year in a family, you're in poverty. And that's a lot of us are not making that. You know, some of us are making, because even the minimum wage doesn't amount to that. You know, they haven't raised it, and all over the country, they're still dealing with it in some places to at least bring it to $15 an hour. You know, and many companies are fighting that. You know, so 40% of us are at or below poverty. Then the next 40% are 2 to 3 paychecks away from being at or below poverty in whatever occupational job that you may have, you know, and that was borne out by the shutdown. I've been saying what I'm saying for years, but what really brought attention and light to it is the shutdown, because there were many people who work 2 to 3 paychecks away, and it was a serious struggle. They had to go to food banks. They had to go to other places to seek, you know, some kind of assistance, because they live from paycheck to paycheck, and that's a reality. See?
That's a reality. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what I like the most, and where they have really convinced us, is to simply get on our knees and pray to that God that they gave us and make sure that this don't never change.
Mm. Amen.
See, I got y'all. You're going to get on your knees and you're going to pray to my God every day, and you're going to get your butt whooped worse every day.
Every day.
And you know what? You're not going to fix your problem, because you're going to go right back to my God, and you're going to go right back to letting this happen to you.
Yeah. Last night.
That's the part that's blowing my mind the most.
Yeah. I'm going to hit on that. Let me finish up with this, the 20%. Since I'm at 80, 80% of us are basically in tenuous position, a very tenuous, and that's a lot, 80%. But then there's the 20% of us. 10 of that 20% are doing well. We're doing well. We have pensions. We live in gated communities, cul-de-sacs, subdivisions. We're doing well. You know, we have nice whatever. But then there's the other 10%. Of us that are doing exceedingly well, the Tyler Perrys and Oprah Winfreys, the actors, the actresses, the athletes, professional athletes, and so forth. Maybe a few people who are in corporate America. That is very few, because a lot of us are not in corporate America. You know, the majority of us who have the kind of money, we're entertainers.
Anyway, I was just throwing that out there to be facetious.
What's that?
That I hope we're not including them in the black race.
Yeah. Yeah, but
they
are.
They left it.
Yeah, because they don't want to be included. They don't want to. They definitely don't want to be African. Many of them want to be black, you know, in the sense that it is a comparison to being white. Because many of our people, just like the brother, Dr. Jerome Fox's book, Addicted to White. Addicted to White is the name of his book, and it is the oppressor, the oppressed, us, in service to the oppressor, them. And it's a good understanding of our situation that we are willing to do the bidding and do whatever we can to maintain and sustain the privilege that Caucasians have created for themselves and to sell each other out. You know,
you go back and believe in their God now.
Exactly.
You can't do it without their God.
No. In fact, I tell you, traveling around Ghana, you know, the Christian religion, the Christian religion is so steep.
They have hanging up there and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, pictures of white Jesus posters, you name it, all over. And that's all throughout Africa, unfortunately. In Nigeria. In the country of Nigeria, you know, there's those two factions of theology, Christianity and Islam. They're both non-African. Let me repeat. They're both non-African. And I know some of us want to talk about the Coptic Church in Ethiopia and in Egypt at the time. They are not African. And let's deal with Christianity. A religion that has been imposed upon us.
They ain't been here that long either, if you want to put a date on it. Mm-hmm. They ain't been here 2,000, 2,500 years yet.
No.
They ain't been that long that they've been here. And everything we talk about in our history goes back thousands of years before that.
Sure it does. But
and then people feel bad when you tell them that it's something better than your Jesus out here. And it's African. Oh, man, that hurts people's feelings, man.
Yeah. Well, number one, you've been trained to believe that anything African is inferior. It is no good. It is beneath or sub, you know. So when you say that it's something that is African, that's why I'm saying many of the American Africans, black folks, don't want to be African. They don't want to be African-American or American-African, as I like to call them, because I believe that it is Africa first. And then the word that goes in front of Africa is the kind of African that you are. We're American Africans. If we were in Brazil, we'd be Brazilian Africans. If we were in Jamaica, we'd be Jamaican Africans. The bottom line is we're African. And if we could embrace that knowledge, embrace that concept that we are an African people, that's what Pan-Africanism is. Embracing the knowledge of being an African, regardless of theology, regardless of political philosophy or any other thing, that we are African and we embrace that and we work from that model. Oh, wow. Imagine what we could do. You know,
why isn't that model being shown to us if it's not important? We don't know about ourselves. It must be important to keep us from knowing about ourselves and loving ourselves.
Yeah, because
it must be important.
It is. It's vitally important, especially for us. But if we embrace that, that breaks the chains that the European has on our minds. That releases the vice grip that they have on our minds. If we embrace that, and then coming into knowledge of self, willing to trust and believe in one another and support one another, that's what happens, you see.
Yeah.
So we got another caller. Just hold on with me, Richard.
Go ahead.
Good morning, caller, 602. Good morning.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Good morning. This is Brother Marcus.
Hey, Brother Marcus. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right, good brother. Good to hear you back.
Yes, it's good to be back.
I had a wonderful time in the motherland.
Yes, I did. I really did. Had a great time.
Yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, as you was talking a while ago about Islam and Christianity, current event, what is taking place in Sudan, we need to keep an eye on that too, because what is happening, yeah, what I realize is happening, you know, is that the people don't want an Islamic Republic. They don't want that. So when you talk about Islam, there is a rejection, you know, by the youth of Sudan,
yeah,
you know, against that, you know. So, okay, so we may not see what's happening, you know, but out here in this cyberspace in the world, it's a revolution of the mind is taking place in the youth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's where we have to tap into. That's where we have to get our propaganda machine, whether it's social media, Facebook, whatever, and blast. You know, because as you said, this is a battle for the mind.
That's right. We're at war for the minds of our people. We are at war.
Mind. Yes. So, so, but that is a positive deal, what is taking place in Sudan, you know, with the youth, you know, and it's many other leaders probably in Africa watching now and see what, looking at what's going on, you know. But you know, the change, it must come, my brother. It must. We have no choice. It's unity or we perish.
And see, and see what I say, what I see, brother, brother Marcus and brother Elliot, is the fact that we are battling over two theologies that have been imposed upon us, by the threat of death. And we're willing to fight all other Africans for these religions that really, when we look at the religions themselves, what have they done to bring African people out of the darkness that pervades over us at this time? At this time, I'm not speaking towards when Islam spread it throughout the north of Africa and many Africans embraced it, and some of those Africans who they called the Moors went up into Spain and was the light of any information that was going on in Europe for over 700 years and and then they were kicked out of Spain in 1492 and beaten back by the Renaissance of the Europeans and that kind of. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about at this moment. I mean, in my travel through Ghana, in the southern part is highly Christian. In the northern part, more Muslim. And yet, the wretched condition, unfortunately, persists. It persists. And you would think that we have a religion and we come together, we pray together, we pull resources and try to find ways to improve our lives. But yet, it seems to me that what they want to do is pray for a better day. Basically saying, this is my lot in life. I pray for a better day. That means I'm praying to die for me to go up yonder. I'll just suffer whatever happens to me in my fate on this planet, in my physical. Right. You know?
Divine adjudication is a fallacy. No, divine adjudication is a fallacy. And that's what they sell our people.
Yes.
Is that everything is going to be all right. You don't have to do nothing. It's all in the hands of the Lord.
Right. You just, all you have to do is believe. All you got to do is believe and worship and tithe.
Not know what the words mean. Can I cut in here?
Sure, sure. Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead, brother.
As I read something recently in support of the woman, the First Nations peoples of North America, whatever bad name we want to call them, Indians, Eskimos, Inuit, but the First Nations people, the people that were here first, recently won all of their human and civil rights back from the Canadian government. And they did it by nullifying something called the Doctrine of Discovery. Doctrine of Discovery from Pope Nicholas V was written in 1452. And a summary of it says, invade, search out, capture, vanquish, and subdue all Saracens and pagans whatsoever and other enemies of Christ, wheresoever placed, and the kingdoms, dukedoms, principalities, dominions, possessions, and all movable and immovable goods whatsoever held and possessed by them, and to reduce their persons to perpetual slavery, and to apply and appropriate to himself and his successors the kingdoms, dukedoms, counties, principalities, dominions, possessions, and goods, and to convert them to his and their use and profit. This was the law put out by the Pope in 1452. For the next 50 years, several additional writings took place that were used by the church to come and take over the whole world. And since this was the law in Britain, when the United States finally seceded from Britain, although we're still a colony, all the British came into United States law, and the United States Supreme Court has quoted this doctrine at least four times in the last 200 years in its laws. So my point is, the church put out a law that the Supreme Court of the U.S. has validated for them to place us in perpetual slavery forever.
Forever.
Now, the First Nations peoples took their issue to the United Nations and reminded them, we were on this land 10,000 years before you came here. So you cannot apply any laws that come out of your religion to us, because they don't apply to us. And the United Nations, after hearing those 10,000 children that went to them schools that had been raped up in them schools, after hearing all this evidence, they said, well, I guess you're right, and we have to make it right by you. And they got all their stuff back. I've been reading this because we don't even talk about the doctrine of discovery and the fact that that was put into law to keep us enslaved forever. And they got us running around here talking about freedom and liberation when in their law it says we're supposed to be perpetual slaves. So my point is, we got to approach this from a different perspective that we have not been using. And if we use that perspective, I believe that we can win. Not just talking about this, but none of their stuff applies to us. So like you said, it's a shift in the mind. If you get it in your mind that their stuff don't apply to you, then it don't apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we are those First Nations peoples. We was here first. The brothers who call themselves Moors, they tell us that story, that we was here first. Well, so the mind shift, they have inhabited the world to enslave us all over the place, and they use their Jesus to do it.
And they've done a damn good job, because as Dr. Henry Clark says, we have no friends. All around this planet, African people are at the bottom. All around this planet, we have been denigrated, demeaned, degraded. I mean, you know, you everywhere.
By the same group of people.
Yeah. Well, it's also, too, by other people, because of what Europeans were able to do, who have controlled media, have controlled imagery, you know. And so they put all that stuff constantly out there. And that's how some Caucasians and other people, Asians and so forth, think that's who and what we are, because of what? The media, who Europeans have control over, and control of imagery.
Yeah.
You know, they perpetuate a stereotype of us. And unfortunately, a lot of times we act that out. And people say, well, yeah, you see, that's how they are. They're thugs, they're criminals, they're drug addicts, they're no fit fathers, no fit mothers. You know, we have another caller. I'm going to get this other caller in. Just hang tight, Brother Richard and Brother Marcus. 646, good morning.
Brother Oshie. Good to see you back, brother.
Hey, Jay, how are you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing very good, brother, now that I hear you back on the airwaves. And it's funny. You get back, and the first thing you start talking about is the Negro's biggest problem, the Sky Daddy.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how it just plays itself out. You know, I know you was home. And I can guarantee you that the Africans there are more into the Sky Daddy than the Africans are here. And that will tell you a lot.
And you're right. Sadly, sadly, man, but
that's
true.
That's a heck of a statement.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, whenever you meet an African here in America, it's two things you will definitely notice about them, and they'll let you know it very quickly. They either are crazy Christian or crazy Islam alaikumists. And the thing is, they are more concerned with that Sky Daddy mythology than they are about the liberation of African people coming together to do the necessary thing.
Yeah.
And don't talk to them about anything other than Sky Daddy-ism and how Sky Daddy-ism is a damn joke. Because if you do, they will become more upset with you than anything. And I learned that early, man. I remember I was working a job years ago, and I was dealing with the Haitian. Now, the Haitian is just as bad, and if not worse, to be honest. And everything dealing with that Haitian had to deal with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I used to, you know, always ask him, man, you've been praying for so many years to this mystery God. And what the hell has he done for your black ass? Has he really liberated you? Has he fed your people? Has he done the necessary thing to put you in the position to get the crocker off your back? When you look at Jesus, what do you see? You see a blonde, blue-eyed head devil. And man, they used to get mad with me.
Well,
so, you know,
but that image... That image is, Jay, that image is so pervasive. And it doesn't matter that those who are in Christian liberation theology paint Jesus African, sometimes with dread. I mean, I don't say dreads, sometimes with locks, because dread is a word that the European dreaded. Sometimes with locks or fro or whatever, very African features. And so it doesn't matter. The damage has been done. You can do that. The damage has been done. Because even when you see that image, you underline the European image, because that's who perpetuates the religion. That's the religion that makes you believe.
Your mom is the white man. When you start thinking about Jesus, I don't care what type of consciousness you have. At some point in time, that image of that white man is going to come into your mind. It's been programmed. I always say to anybody that tries to talk to me about Christianity or basically any religion, if there is such a thing as a righteous God, how could a righteous God allow for my people to be under the suffering that they've been up? They came into the
simple as that
with this white man. I mean, that's like the simple question. If there was really a God and you was his child, would you allow your child to be abused?
But see,
would you allow your child to be raped, brutalized, and have all the things done to us that the white man has done to us? And didn't you try to justify it in your mind because God is supposed to be forgiven because that's what the white man talked to you? It's just mental sickness.
Jay.
It's mental sickness.
Sure it is. It's a mental illness, Jay. Understand this, brothers and sisters. Christianity is an individualistic religion. Christianity is not for the mass of people. Christianity can never, ever liberate African people. It's not a fallacy of African liberation theory. No, it is for the individual. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. There are people who are within families would say, to hell with them. They going to hell, but not me, because I believe in Jesus. And it's such, it is so deep, even though there's a plethora of information historically to refute it. The mindset of the people is this. I rather believe in Christianity and the salvation of Jesus and it not be true than to not believe and it be true, because I'll then burn in hell.
Now ask yourself this question.
I'm sorry.
Ask yourself this question. How could you be a so-called Christian when the Sky Daddy say, thou shall not kill? And the white man tell you to go to war, and you go to war, and you kill hundreds of thousands of people. How could the Sky Daddy allow you into his kingdom? When you took the word of another man that disobeyed him, for what? Not for your personal gain, but for their personal gain. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I always laugh when I hear people talk about some filthy, stinking warmonger like John McCain being a hero. How the hell could you be a hero and you a blatant murderer? I mean, when somebody tells the truth that you indiscriminately use your jet to just kill people indiscriminately, to blow up buildings and with children in it and adults in it and all of that, and you got the nerve to say you are a hero? How do you do that other than to show another person what propaganda is about?
Let me say this, Jay.
You don't understand propaganda.
Yeah, because see, understand that when Constantine co-opted the Christian religion and 325 AD at the Nicene Conference and turned all of the imagery of Christianity Caucasian. One of the things he said is that we're going to conquer under this symbol, under the Christian religion. We're going to conquer. We're going to go and subdue and eradicate all the other religions. As you know, years and years and centuries have passed, and you get all kinds of popes who gives out edicts to go and subdue all infidels, kill them, just as Brother Richards mentioned earlier, to take their land. It's justified. It's justified.
Another.
Go ahead, Richard.
If you go read Deuteronomy 20, 10 through 20, you'll see where they get their instruction. And God told his chosen people to go up to the gates of the city. I'm paraphrasing. If they refuse to make peace and they engage you in battle, lay siege to the city, put the sword to all of the men in the city, take all the women and children, and you can rape them and do whatever you want to with them, and keep them in that position forever. This is in the Bible now.
Yes, yes.
And they're doing it under the Lord.
Right.
And
well,
by
see,
not reading Hebrew, we don't understand. And when they talk about the Lord, they're talking about a slave master who runs a plantation. So they got all of us talking about the Lord and don't understand it in the Hebrew and in the Bible. They're talking about a slave master who owns and runs everything. And God told him to go destroy all these other people because your Lord God has commanded you to do this, and you take that land forever.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break.
This is what the Bible has told them to go do.
Sure, sure. And, of course, for those Bible thumpers, they said, well, that was the Old Testament. There's a new covenant with Jesus. There's a new covenant.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah, that's bull. But anyway, I'm going to take a break. If you want to hang on and hang out with me, please do so. And after the break, we'll come back for more conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'm happy to be back, but you stay with us right here.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com.
We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. This evening, Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Tomorrow, Thursday, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Saturday Sports Talk. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And you can join us by dialing that number in the conversation we're having here. Still holding on with me is Brother Jay. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I mean, tell us a little bit about your trip, man. What did you get into? You know, how was the weather, you know?
Okay. I was going to read some of the revolutionary thoughts from Baba Baruti's Inye Sesem, but we got deep into this discussion, so I may do that on Friday. Just dedicate that on Friday, because there were so many sayings, so many revolutionary thoughts since I've been gone that I definitely want to bring to the listening audience attention and have some discussion around that. So I'm going to do that on Friday. We'll continue the discussion that we're having, me, you, and Richard, and whoever else wants to join us, Brother Marcus as well, and you name it. We're here for you, and if you just dial 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, we can have that discussion. But I got around Ghana pretty well. I flew in Ethiopian Airlines from Newark, New Jersey, into Lome, which is the capital of Togo, which is just east, the country east of Ghana. And then from there, flew into Accra. Flew to Accra, and a good brother, Brother Jerry Johnson, he lives in Ghana. He has the ancestral wall that a number of our ancestors from Africa and throughout the diaspora are painted on the wall. Children come there, and they give information about the individuals who are painted there. Probably the most prominent two that he has when you go into his place is Marcus Garvey and Kwame Nkrumah. He has a picture of Marcus Garvey and Kwame Nkrumah. And, of course,
now, this is just outside of Accra?
Yeah, this is east of Accra. This is east of Accra. And
about
just,
how far?
I'd say it's about an hour and a half drive, so it's not far.
It is not far.
Less than an hour and a half drive from Accra to his place. In fact, he's a little bit east of a town called Pram Pram. You know, and so that's where Brother Jerry Johnson has the ancestral wall that I know that many of our people who have had opportunity to see it, it's really beautiful. And he pays great tribute to those brothers and sisters who have done so much. And then I left from, stayed with him a few days and then went to Accra, hooked up with my firefighting brothers. That's how I pretty much get around through the fire department. I helped bring firefighters from Ghana here to the States for our training program that I'm going to be involved in at the end of May to beginning of June in New Orleans. It's an executive development training program for firefighters. And in fact, I'm bringing two brothers from Ghana. They are coming to our training program in New Orleans in May, June. In fact, just say it's June because of June 2nd it starts. So, Then got around Ghana and then flew up to Tamale. Tamale is right in the middle of the country of Ghana. And it's very hot up there. It was 105 every day. Really hot. And took a drive from Tamale to Moli Park, where it is a game preserve in Moli Park. And When I went there 10 years ago, the road was extremely terrible. It was a dirt road. It looked like it was a lake bed because a lot of bumps and so forth. I mean, you know how when you're driving and say, for instance, you're going to the airport and there's some corrugation on the ground, boom, 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 lets you know you're about to, you need to slow down or let you know there's a stop ahead or something like that. Imagine driving 2 hours consistently with that. In fact, We stopped the car and tightened up the bolts on the dude's car, on his doors, because all that constant vibration. Well, the Chinese finished the road, or built the road. Let me say it this way. Built the road from Tamale to Moli Park. But they also did something that benefits them as well. They built another resort near Moli Park and built that road to lead to that resort. I didn't go up there to that resort. I may check it out the next time I'm up that way just to see it. But, you know, the Chinese are heavy in Ghana. In fact, they have a China Mall, you know. One thing that definitely bothers me about the other countries and other people in African land, I know and you know, we couldn't even think about doing something in those other lands. We couldn't think about even doing it. The last time we did that.
In America, in another community. So what the hell, you gonna go to another country and do something?
Yeah.
That's okay.
I mean, you know, the last time we did something like that is when we went up into Europe, the western part of Europe. And speaking of, once again, about the Moors, staying there over 700 years and providing the kinds of things that the Moors provided that brought enlightenment to the Europeans, which brought them into their so-called Renaissance, their enlightenment, you know. And basically what their Renaissance was about was saying that, hey, we may war amongst ourselves, but we're going to stop this madness. We're going to come together on everybody outside of us. We're going to go around the world and claim their stuff in the name of. And if one of us is threatened, we'll all come together and come down on whoever that threat is from. And that's what they have done. And they have been in that. And they have been that way ever since. Ever since. The reason why Europe is in the position that it is in is because of the theft of Africans and Africa's resources. And that is the truth. It is not because of their ingenuity or their enlightenment. No, it's because of their selfishness and greediness. And they're willing to eliminate other people for their own selfish and greedy ends. So let's be real about this world today. And so in my travel, when I left Tamale, I went back and I went to Cape Coast. In fact, there's a sister, she's from New York, Sister Amaku. She has a place called One Africa. It's right in between Cape Coast and Elmina Dungeons. It's right in between Cape Coast and Elmina Dungeons. In fact, you can see Elmina Dungeon from her property. Her property is right there on the ocean. And, she's built some chalets on there. You can stay there for a price and great food and so forth. So I stayed a few days there. Then I left there and went west towards and past the city of Takrati, going towards Cote d'Ivoire, but not at the border, to visit Inyelezu, which is a community on stilts in this water, Inyelezu. And what it was in the brief description of their history, they were from Mali. These brothers and sisters were from Mali. But when some Senegalese came onto them, they began to have some issues. And so they left out of Mali and came into Ghana, in the western portion of Ghana. And they've been living for 500 years on these stilts in the water, and believe me, it's not a good thing. It's not a pretty thing, but that's how they've been dealing. You know, in fact, I would love to you know, move them all out and tear it all down and rebuild it on the stilts in a better situation. Because, bam, as I went around Africa.
And, did you take any pictures?
Oh, yeah, I took some pictures. Oh, yeah, not a lot. I'm not a very good on, you know, sometimes I get into it and sometimes I don't. I don't think I have but a few pictures even on my phone, on the camera on my phone, man, because I just somehow don't take pictures, you know. You know, but I did take some pictures of me and Jerry by the wall in Pram Pram. I took some pictures of some other people and so forth. And but I took some pictures with my camera, especially at Moli Park, some elephants. It was a herd of elephants. Not a herd. There were like seven of them, but they were all male elephants. And they didn't, you know, but they were close. I mean, they're closest, I'd say, for me. I'd say within myself and I'd say about 10 yards, 15 yards. That's all close, you know, but wow. they don't want to, you know, mess with nobody. They just want to, you know, eat some leaves and go through brush and you just stay out of their way. You know, the baboons are an issue, you know, cause the baboons, they come into the living areas in the morning. In fact, they were on top of the roof and, in fact, one cat said they knock on your door. You think of somebody knocking on your door to come in. You know, and the baboons are extremely strong. And I remember the first time I went there back about 10 or so years ago, they stole this woman's purse. You know, and she ain't getting it back, you know. And so saw some baboons and some elk. And, of course, they're probably on that preserve. They only probably have about 4 or 5 lions. So definitely didn't see no lions, you know. But that was cool, and then came
so
back.
So the baboons, do they attack the people?
Yeah, they would. That's why a lot of the rangers on the preserve, you know, they have a gun, you know, they have a gun just in case they need to shoot in the air to scare the baboons and scare any other wildlife from the people. But you know, like I said, they came into the living areas into the and you know. In the morning, in search of food or leftovers or scrapes and so forth, you know. And I heard them on top of the roof and heard them hit the door of where I was staying. Yeah. And so I came back to Accra and went to Cape Coast with Sister Amakus. Her husband was a New York firefighter, you know. Brother Benny Robinson, Nana Okofu, and he died about 10 years ago. He died. No, it's longer than that now because he died before the last time I was there. And he got hit by, there's the little, like, remember those VW buses? Yeah, they're called like a tro-tro. And unfortunately, because of the lack of medical attention that, you know, you could get hurt and it can easily pass away because of the lack of immediate emergency attention that they don't have there, you know. But a nice place. And then that's pretty much the trip. And then discuss some things with the firefighters, trying to get them together to, you know, be ready to come to the States and to prepare themselves for the program that they're going to embark on. And the information that they're going to get, because many of the ones who came over the years, some of them are retired, and many of them became officers and chief officers in Ghana, because that's what the program is about. So they've taken advantage of that. So that was the trip, and looked at Garvey Town, and Brother Bomani Tayemba, who's promoting Garvey Town, and some other folks there. It is still in a embryonic stage. Let me say it that way. It is still in a very embryonic stage. And I'm going to be a member. I'll take a membership out for Garvey Town, no doubt. But I'm in the wait and see mode like many of us are, you know, because if it materialized the way that the people are envisioning it, it is something to me that should be replicated in other African countries. Other African countries should have a Garvey Town, not for American Africans, but for African people, period, as a collective, because that's what Garvey Town is saying that it is. It's going to be just like Ulu. It's a collective. It's a co-op. And we all come together. And believe me, if where it is planned and where it is to the main road, there's a dirt road there that needs to be paved. That would be one thing that they should do. They should put some towers up for good internet service. I mean, that was a problem. I only had good internet service twice, and both of them were at hotels. You know, one was a main hotel. In fact, I was on WhatsApp, capital W H A T S, capital A P P, WhatsApp. That's so if you have some friends in other countries or islands or so forth, tell them to get WhatsApp so you can communicate with them via WhatsApp and there will be no cost, you know. And so I communicated with one brother through video from Ghana to my friend, Brother Ronnie in L.A. and to my friend Cynthia in Milwaukee, you know, video on WhatsApp. So if the internet is strong enough, you know, that's the thing. And of course, there are some power outages, and come to find out, sadly, that the leadership or lack thereof is pathetic. In fact, you know, the infrastructure is so bad, and it's been years. It has been years. The power system, the electrical system. Two-thirds of it is owned by outside interests. Two-thirds of that system is owned by somebody outside of Ghana. You know, I don't remember which entity it was, but
Ghana doesn't have strong leadership right now?
No, it does not. No, it has pathetic leadership at this time. Yeah, it sure doesn't. It sure doesn't, you know.
Are they using any type of solar there?
No, not at this moment. They're not using solar that I know of. I know South Africa is. I know South Africa is using solar big time because of the energy outages that they've been having down there. And I'm quite sure that might be something that they can get off into. You know, and that's something they better get off into, solar and wind. Because, I mean, three times I was there and I experienced power outages. I mean, hell, I've experienced a power outage here in my home here in Atlanta a couple of times, you know. But I understand what that could be from. You know, it's hard to say what it could be from in Ghana, you know. So, you know, sometimes we experience a power outage, you know, the weather's bad, you know, something. It was a nice day. Bam, the lights went out. Why? You know, we have another call. Let me catch this call. 267. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. I just wanted to welcome you back. This is Sister Susani Kwading from Botswana.
Sister Susumi, it's great to hear your voice. How are things in Botswana?
Oh, doing fine. Just getting busy. You know, the longer you stay, the busier you get. So I missed part of the program, actually. Sorry, I just came on board a few minutes ago. So I thought I'd just say, you know, welcome back. It's good to have you on the program again. And
well, thank you. I appreciate it. I thank you so much, dear. I appreciate it. It is, and believe me, it's good to be back. It's good to be back.
Right, I bet.
You know, although
I'll continue to listen. Yeah.
Although honestly, I wish it was better there in terms of how things are, and I would say I'm back, but I still wish I was there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But sometimes it could be, you know, somewhat. Continuous, and I ain't saying depressing to the extent that it's really depressing, but hell, it can be depressing, you know, because when you see what should be and what could be, and you see that's what is not, it's cause for concern. And once again, as I stated earlier, the lack of real leadership, in Ghana. And I can't speak for other African countries, but, you know, that's why I would love to be in Ghana and having the ability to travel to Tanzania, Botswana, you know, other places, right. Rwanda, to see how they are. I know that since the Rwandan genocide that took place about 30 years ago, they hail Rwanda as a place is very clean. 30%, right. Excuse me, 60% of those in legislature or in office, so to speak, are women, you know. So, you know, it'd be something to check out. I would like to check out Tanzania and in other places, you know.
Right.
But let me just say this. One thing that I do know is that I am committed myself to living in Africa for the rest of my time. Because my understanding is I'd rather struggle in a world where I'm struggling with brothers and sisters like myself, in a world of my choosing, than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. And this is the Europeans' dream. This is a nightmare for us. The Europeans' dream is a nightmare for African people. It always has and it always will be. Even though all the BS that it talks about of inclusion and integration, all this other madness, and many Negroes who are in a dark face in a high place who yell and scream about it, how great it is. It's no. No. It is what it is.
Right.
And what's unfortunate for us is that we don't see it as a people. And the ones that are in it, they prop them up. They use them as, see, you too can live like this. You too can be here, this, that, and the other, you know. And in fact, the only right. thing that we have that in prominence are entertainers, are entertainers. Mm-hmm. We have people, mm-hmm. truly we have people in legislature. Truly, we have people in other facets, but not to the extent of the big money folks for us as African-Americans or American Africans is entertainment, entertaining Caucasians. And you know, if they pay somebody $10, $15, $20 million, imagine what they are making, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it like, you know, do we not deserve the right to determine our own future? Do we not have the right to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign as a people? And of course we do. I know there are many of our people, particularly those who subscribe to Christianity and Islam and who believe in being here in America is the best thing, you know, because of what it espouses, that individual thing that you have going on here in America, that I too can be rich. I too can follow my own dream and my own destiny, you know. And the reality is that is for a few, because for the masses of African people, and I've used that 100% phrase, that 80% of us are in a tenuous position, and that is by design, and it will continue to be that. But it is that 20% that they use, that the system use to say, you too can be like them. It's just like the Caucasian. The Caucasian does not want redistribution, as bad as it is. They don't want redistribution of wealth. They believe that the 1% who has so much wealth that it is ridiculous. They have billions of dollars. They have billions. They don't want redistribution of wealth because their belief is, I too can do that. I too can be someone who can amass that kind of money. And so they hail these individuals because they want to be like them. And so do we. And so do we, you know. So, Richard, you still with me? I know.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. And Okay, we got another caller. We got another caller. 404-573-573.
Yes, good day, King.
Oh, glad to see you back. Oh, sister, Queen Ali. How are you, Queen?
I'm well. Good. I'm well, thank you so much. I'm hanging in there.
Good. Well, we have something going to go on at the cafe this Saturday. You might want to check out Brother Sangor Bay. Brother Richard, tell the listening audience as well as Sister Queen Ali what's going to be happening on Saturday at Cafe Ulu.
We have a black government, a world black government that was established by the UNIA in 1920. Next year, this government will be 100 years old. There have only been 11 presidents of this world government since Marcus Garvey. He was the first. The last president, Sangor Baye, is going to give a presentation this Saturday at the Cafe Ulu from 1 to 4. So this was the past president of our global government. Very knowledgeable brother, has a lot of good plans for our people, and he himself is doing some good work. So this Saturday at the Cafe Ulu from 1 to 4, we'll get a chance to hear Brother Baye talk about blacktricity. He uses blacktricity as a term to describe our soul, our spiritual connection to the universe, and he calls that connection blacktricity. So he's going to be giving a lecture this Saturday on blacktricity and other work that's taken place to organize our people both here in the States and on the continent.
Outstanding. And I'll look for that information from you so I can announce that again on Friday's program.
And yes, I'll send you that.
In fact, what I might be doing, I'm probably going to go down to the cafe. There's probably some literature down there, and then I can pick that up there. But I look forward from you as well, Brother Richard. Appreciate that.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
So how have you been? Go ahead, Queen.
Okay, thank you. Yes, and I want to thank the brother for the information and the input and the output. I want to say to you, Brother Oshi, welcome back, or unwelcome back. And I'm thanking you for taking us on your trip with you to Ghana and all your expeditions. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I'm hearing that you actually got more out of what you put into, which is always the authentic experience when you give yourself. You always get more out of it as to what you think you're putting in.
Right.
I'm also glad to hear that you recognize the poor leadership in Africa and in the diaspora. We're lacking so badly, so I guess it's time to be a change maker.
Yeah. Yeah, the leadership, unfortunately, is very much so manipulated by the West. They still praise France. They still praise England, the British. You know, they still literally praise white Jesus, you know, the holidays, the Easter thing. Yeah. And, you know, I was.
Just, yeah, they've been infected.
Oh, yeah.
They've been
tremendously.
Bitten.
Tremendously.
And, tremendously.
And the thing about it, because I had a conversation last night with a brother at the cafe. We have a jam session on Tuesday nights. And I had a conversation with a brother. And a very, very sharp brother. But as we were talking, and he's Christian, and as I was saying to him, I think what's even more important than you being a Christian or a Muslim or any other religion, you are African. And our problem is that we don't put us being African first. We put the theology that we are Muslim or Christian first, and of course we espouse that and we promote that, And that's why Malcolm said, he said, when we come to the table to deal with the issues that are affecting us as a people, that are affecting us collectively, I'm going to leave the religion of Islam at home or in my back pocket, you know, because if I start espousing that, that'll be a conflict. We will never deal with what the real issue that affects African people is, and that is the imposition of Europeans on us as a people. We cannot do it because, you know, the theology yeah. that they've imposed on us makes yeah. us believe that there's nothing more important than our salvation and our mm-hmm. belief in Jesus Christ mm-hmm. or the religion of El Islam. And the mm-hmm. belief of the Quran and so forth. And I'm saying both of those are not African religions. In fact, they have hurt mm-hmm. Africa. They have hurt African development. They've allowed mm-hmm. others to take from Africa and out of Africa and basically destroy Africans in the process. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, it is a process. Africans on the continent we're coming out of our hypnotism and our illusion because of our over 500 years of experience with these people. Mm-hmm. But the Africans are new to it. They're just 100 years in it. They don't know it like we do.
Right.
And it's so sad that we let how we choose to practice, if you were really Christ-like or a Muhammad-like or any bringer of good news, you would know that we are one. Our identity is our problem. It has become a problem, and religion is a part of that.
Yeah.
So we got work to do. I'm a Muslim because I choose to practice Islam as my religion, but that's my business.
Right, right.
But I don't put that in front of being African or a human being first.
Right, and that's the thing.
So we got work to do, and it's a beautiful work. It's a beautiful work, Brother Oshi. You're doing a beautiful work, and I like to say in opening up the program to others who are here, that I was so glad and happy to hear that you're going to live your life as I desire to live mine and be buried on African soil.
Ashe. Yes.
Ashe. Mm-hmm. Ashe. Because that's mm-hmm. where our hearts are. And
yeah.
That's where those of us who are woke and want to stay woke, mm-hmm. that's where our hearts are and that's where we want to be.
And that's, you know, and that's my desire and that's my design. You know, but until that time, I will be here and I'm going to do all that I can to help brothers and sisters come into the reality of who we are as a people, the knowledge of ourselves, the commitment we should have towards one another, you know, to build something, to do something for ourselves.
Go back to our beginning. Go back to who we are. Well, okay. Enough. So we got a beautiful work to do. We see it as that. It's hard. It's difficult. It's oppressing, but it's no more pressing than how we live here. As a matter of fact, it's more liberating.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brother Oshi, for taking us on your trip with
you. Thank you, Sister Queen Ali. I appreciate that.
I'm here.
All of you.
I'm here.
Yep.
And I'll show up.
All right, my sister. Hope to see you on Saturday.
I hope to be there probably before Saturday and on Saturday.
Okay.
Is my desire to be there. Yeah, so get the information out. I'll tell other people as well.
Please do.
And yes, I will. And it's, as far as this brother who's doing the presenting, president of UNIA, I think it's so timely. It's very, very timely and richly needed. So
right.
I'll disseminate the information as well.
Right, because, I mean, you know, there is... aside from the provisional government of the UNIA, there is a serious move towards Pan-Africanism. I think that those are the leaders that I've gravitated to, that I have admired and respected and loved. They were Pan-Africanists. Marcus Garvey, Dr. Clark, all of them, they were Pan-Africanists. They believe that Africans should be controlling Africa. They believe that Africa is for Africans on the continent and throughout the diaspora and abroad. They were Pan-Africanists, and that's my belief. I recognize there's something problematic with being a Pan-Africanist if you're a Christian or a Muslim, because, you know,
you're indoctrination.
Right. Because you're indoctrinated in that way, that is your feeling. You rather be a Christian than to be an African or a Pan-African.
Yeah.
You rather be a Muslim than to be that, because you've been trained to believe that that is your salvation, that that is your way to heaven. You know, and as I said earlier, many people, they want, this is their mantra. I'd rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. So as messed up as it is, of all the information that shows and proves that it is not true, I ignore it. I dismiss it. You know, it's just like the cognitive dissonance that Europeans have. Because Europeans believe, right, they believe that they are superior. They believe that they are privileged. I've seen that even while I was in Africa. The arrogance of Europeans.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because they suffer from cognitive dissonance, or as this Caucasian psychologist, Dr. D'Angelo, said, they have Caucasian or white fragility. They're fragile in the reality of themselves that they don't want to admit. They don't want to admit all the evil that they have done, because they want to believe that they are good people. They are Christian people, that they spread the love of Jesus throughout the world and salvation. They want to believe that they've helped people. They want to believe that what they have done has been good. Within the reality of it, they have been the source of discourse and evil. They have been undermining, backstabbing, thieves, you know. I'm sorry, Richard.
Yeah.
Richard, you said something. Brother Richard, I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was here. My daughter was
talking
to me too.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, was there a question or something?
No. I was just explaining how Caucasians feel. They don't want to believe they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they are superior, and even though there's a mound of evidence.
Until they get in the classroom with me, then I put a whooping on their ass.
I know that's right.
See, that's the way this thing works, see? Y'all might believe. That's why one of them don't never come after one of us, because they too scared.
Well,
that's
true. That's true. Because they come with falsehood. They come with lies. They come with deceit. You know? That's why, to me, I wouldn't debate Caucasians. I wouldn't try to convince them about how evil and bad they are.
Oh, I don't. I just call them snakes and lower than the stuff at the bottom of the outhouse.
Yeah.
Straight in the
face. And keep
Why
on
moving.
Why
am I going to debate that, and that's who you are? Know.
But see.
Well, I happen to think that, if you brothers don't mind.
Sure.
We all got work to do, and we all got our places where we can shine in that work, but I think they need to be let known that we know who they are. We know what they've done. And we know what they are capable and will do.
And what they're continuing to do.
I think we need to pull the covers off, some of us. Now, you know, people got work in different areas in which you do best. But I think we, who are most qualified to do it, like our four master teachers have done, just shine the light on them. Because lightness and darkness cannot exist in the same physical state.
You know what roaches do when you turn on the light? They scatter.
Like roaches.
That's okay. They can do whatever. That's not my concern of what they do. Because you could run, but you cannot hide. You can run all you want. Like they ran from the truth from us. But we found out the truth. And we it's time to shine the light on them. But people all over the world truly know who they are. They just practice, as you say, cognitive dissonance to identify with the materialism that they have stolen from other people. But people know who they are in their hearts. So, you know, until and unless us who are distinctively qualified to tell the truth and shame the devil, let other people know exactly who they are and what they will do, then they can look at their own history and say, yeah, okay, we can testify to that. They will continue to perpetrate this fraud. And, you know, do what you do.
And you're right, sister, because the bottom line is that we have an agenda that we need to implement, that we need to come together on strongly. And what's unfortunate is because of the stranglehold that the Europeans have imposed upon us through their religion and through their indoctrination and through giving us a belief that we too, you know, in fact, there's some of us today at this very moment believe that what Europeans have done to us was really good for us, that it was divine. It helped us to develop a religion, Christianity, that we can be saved. It helps us to get a system of capitalism, a system of so-called democracy that we can work through, you see. So there are many of us who believe that. In fact, I venture to say, sadly, that the majority of our people believe that, as opposed to believing that who we are as an African people and embracing that, you know, because you know, we fall victim to the lies that the Europeans have perpetrated and continue to do so through their religion and forms of government. You know, I was going to have a, I was going to do Bobby Wright, a tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright. I may do that on Monday. Cause as I was out of the country, I read again his outstanding and brilliant essay, The Psychopathic Racial Personality, and a few other essays by Dr. Bobby Wright. He was a strong brother, strong man, you know, and I believe that, that just like other strong brothers and sisters, you know, they kill them. It makes it appear, it makes it appear that they died through various other means, but I believe they kill them, you know.
Of course.
You know, because when you have a strong
when
voice.
When you stand up, and say, no, no more, this is the truth, of course you become a target.
Yeah.
Of course you can look out for that. We've seen it 1,000 times before, you know. How long will they kill our prophets? While we stand aside and look, these people gave their very, very lives and the lives of their families for the truth of who these people are. So you can expect that.
Yeah,
you can expect it.
And it seems, Queen, that when one is espousing the liberation and self-determination and sovereignty for African people, that individual becomes a target, and that individual is easily killed by his own people, his or her own people, because of the weakness within our people to say, you know, I'm strong.
Vis-a-vis,
you know,
vis-a-vis the brother who they just killed in California.
Right, right.
And now, all of them.
Yeah.
I say to all of them,
of us. You know, and then there's something coming out I just read since I've been back yesterday that the dude that killed him possibly could have been doing it within the framework of the L.A. Police Department. You know. Aside from him wanting to develop a documentary on Dr. Sabi and his work, and I seen on Facebook Nick Cannon go to the Dr. Sabi's family and say that he is going to continue the work on the documentary of what work that Dr. Sabi did, you know. So that's very positive. But, you know, a lot of times we don't want to believe in the clandestine, in the, you know, the conspiracy.
Undercover.
Right.
Yes.
We don't want to believe that. You know, we want to believe the surface. We want to believe what is told by a media and told by the system, because we've been trained to feel that. But those of us who reject it, we know in our heart and mind who is the main culprit, who, just like Mr. Farrakhan said, is the hidden hand that's directing all of this. Who is the hidden? It is this system. I put nothing past the Caucasian to do whatever they have to do to maintain their position of dominance and control. There'll even be Caucasians who will be killed. That's just collateral damage. Because number one, it ain't the mass. Now, there is that fear of Caucasians because of their diminishing numbers in the world, but that still does not preclude them from dominating and controlling. Hell, they always been a numerical minority in the world.
Yeah.
That's nothing new.
Yeah.
And so to say, because their numbers are dwindling, they're not having children, they can't have children, you know.
Then they'll eliminate yours.
Exactly.
They'll eliminate yours.
Exactly.
They'll
eliminate them or co-opt them. If you see what's on TV constantly in the last couple of years, all the commercials that show all these mixed race, you know, high yellows, you know, said it, letting you know that's what it's going to be. And we'll use that buffer group, which they've always done, because since Europeans began to go around the world taking everybody's stuff, they realized the offspring from the rapes that they committed did not look like them, but they will use them against the other people who are there trying to take their resources and land and eliminate from. So, but anyway, Brother Richard, you got any closing words? Because we're about to get out of here.
No, I enjoyed the conversation. I'm finally glad that I called in and did some very good listening.
Brother Richard, thank you for calling in. I look forward to seeing you, my brother. Okay? Always
yes,
do.
Yes, indeed. I look forward to the lecture this Saturday. It should be a lot of blacktricity taking place.
Right on. Okay. Sister Queen, you got any closing words there?
Just bring someone, you know, try to help someone, try to enlighten someone, each one teach one.
Ashe.
You know, we want to go fast, go alone, but if we want to
go further,
go far.
That's right.
So let's go together.
Let's go together.
So
let's
hope to see everyone there. Bring someone with you and spread the news.
All right, dear. Listen, brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to liberate the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. I've seen it. I've seen it all firsthand. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening. Hope you'll be with us on Friday. Hope you'll check us out at Cafe Ulu on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And hope you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia. Bifihoda means our victorious destiny. Peace, family. Until Friday. Peace.
Peace, brother. Say peace, everyone.
Peace.